For decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government's covert broadcasting arm from delivering politically deceptive programming to American audiences. But in 2013, that came silently to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed under the Obama administration as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, which included an amendment that nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which explicitly forbids information and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion. Critics claim that the act also unleashed thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs for domestic U.S. consumption in what has been criticized as a green light for politically motivated social engineering and U.S. domestic propaganda efforts. This is why we see the same exact word-for-word news stories broadcast on every media news outlet.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these stories simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban claims that much of the far-left woke propaganda flooding the Western media is financed by George Soros' global syndicate, which he says is behind divisive hate groups such as BLM, Antifa, and militant pro-migrant activists. Orban is predicting a new golden age for Europe, including a promise to expel Soros-financed NGOs from Hungary, which he claims is facilitating the mass migrant invasion of Europe. Soros and the Democrats are essentially part of a large network. They have fundamental economic interests and subordinate politics to these economic interests. They believe it is their duty, right, and mission to reform humanity, which means forcing countries to adopt what they, from Washington, as Democrats, consider right. This leads to the world being flooded with migration and migration chaos, unleashed gender madness. Traditional families better retreat when the American Democrats come, because then there will be pride parades, rainbow flags, transgender movements, gender reassignment surgeries, and a world no longer consisting of men and women, but undefined number and kinds of beings. This is the second consequence. And they don't hesitate to use wars to achieve their goals, as they did with the Russian-Ukraine war. Of course, Viktor Orban is not the only world leader to oppose the woke globalist agenda. Argentina's President Milei recently launched an unrelenting verbal assault at the 2025 World Economic Forum against the manufactured push by Marxist organizations for unrestricted open borders and medical immorality involving children. President Milei claimed that the planned destruction of the traditional family unit, along with an open migration policy designed to import millions of third world migrants based on synthetic guilt, has resulted in the mass rape and murder of European citizens, which, if not immediately reversed, will inevitably lead to what he describes as national suicide. These forums promote the LGBTQ agenda, trying to force us to accept that gender is purely self-perception. They're silent when a man poses as a woman and kills his rival in a boxing ring, or when a male inmate claims to be a female and ends up assaulting women in prison. Just recently, a global news story broke out about two American men who waved the flag of sexual diversity but were sentenced to 100 years for abusing and filming their adopted kids for over 2 years. Let me be clear. When I say abuse, it's not a euphemism. Extreme gender ideology is simply child abuse. They're pedophiles, so I want to know who's supporting these behaviors. They're irreversibly harming healthy kids with hormones and surgeries, as if a five-year-old could consent to such things. If the family disagrees, state agents are ready to step in for what they call the child's interest. Trust me, these are shocking experiments done in the name of this criminal ideology. Will be condemned like the darkest times in history. Covering these awful practices is the constant victimhood, always quick to accuse critics of homophobia, transphobia, and other made-up terms, to silence those exposing the scandal that authorities enable. On the other hand, in our companies, public institutions, and schools, merit has been sidelined by diversity doctrine, regressing to old noble systems. Politicians invent quotas for countless minorities, which only undermines these institutions' excellence. Wokeness has also distorted the immigration cause. Free movement of goods and people is fundamental to liberalism. We know this. Well, Argentina, the U.S., and many countries grew great from immigrants seeking new opportunities. Yet we've shifted from attracting talent to promoting growth to allowing mass immigration driven by guilt, not national interest. The West, blamed for history's ills, must redeem itself by opening borders, leading to a reverse colonization akin to collective suicide. We now see hordes of immigrants abusing, raping, or killing Europeans whose only sin was not adhering to a particular religion. Yet, questioning these situations gets one branded as racist, xenophobic, or Nazi. This mindset promoted by institutions like this has deeply penetrated society, even questioning the concept of sex through harmful gender ideology. This led to more state intervention via absurd laws like funding hormones and surgeries to match individual self-perception. Only now do we see the effects of a generation that mutilated their bodies, promoted by a culture of sexual relativism, who will need lifelong therapy to cope with what was done to them. Yet nobody speaks about these issues. They've almost made most people slaves to a tiny minority's misguided self-perceptions. Moreover, this ideology aims to hijack our future by dominating chairs at the world's most prestigious universities. It's training our country's elites to reject the culture, ideas, and values that made us great.
That is the common denominator among the countries and institutions that are failing is the mental virus of woke ideology. This is the great epidemic of our time that must be cured. This is the cancer we need to get rid of. This ideology has colonized the world's most important institutions, from the political parties and governments of leading Western nations to global governance organizations, even NGOs, universities and media outlets. It has also set the tone of the global conversation over the past decades.
Wokeism also manifests itself through the sinister radical ecologism under the climate change flag. To preserve our planet for the next generations is common sense. No one wants to live in a waste bin. But again, wokeism managed to perverse this basic idea to preserve the environment. For the enjoyment of human beings, we went for a fanatic environmentalism in which human beings are a cancer that needs to be eliminated, and the economic development, nothing more than a crime against nature. The model is freedom, to return and embrace to the ideas of freedom, to return to liberalism. This is what we're doing in Argentina. This is what I believe President Trump will do in this new North America. It is what we invite all great free nations of the world to do if they want to stop in time, the path that leads to catastrophe. What I'm proposing to you is for us to make the West great again. President Trump has yet to repeal the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, implemented under Obama, that reversed the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which was like a protective shield, preventing the U.S. government from using its own media to manipulate its own citizens with propaganda. It was during Obama's term that the far-left social engineering saturated all aspects of U.S. media, as well as academia, from critical race theory and BLM to gender pronouns and mandatory diversity, equity, and inclusion programming. That said, President Trump has initiated significant policy changes aimed at what he describes as combating woke culture. On his first day back in office, Trump didn't just fire a warning shot across the bow. He launched a full broadside attack on the administrative state's DEI infrastructure, rescinding prior directives that had mandated racial preferences throughout the federal government. What happened next was nothing short of a bureaucratic blitzkrieg. Over the next 48 hours, Trump systematically demolished the entire federal DEI apparatus through a series of executive orders that ended the government's ability to enforce racial preferences in federal contracting.
We signed some executive orders. They were very important in just about every case.
His executive orders effectively dismantled, terminated, and purged Marxist DEI programs within the federal government, including putting DEI employees on administrative leave and dissolving DEI offices across all government agencies. Part of his broader pledge to eliminate what he considers illegal and immoral discrimination through DEI policies, returning to merit-based equal treatment under the law rather than Afrocentric privilege. The U.S. State Department has adopted a new policy under the Trump administration that effectively blocks U.S. embassies and outposts from flying BLM pride flags, permitting only the American flag to be flown at U.S. facilities at home and abroad. His policies have also put pressure on corporations with threats of federal investigations for those maintaining DEI programs, as well as educational institutions with actions including banning discussions on race and gender identity in schools and reversing policies that supported diversity in admissions and curriculum. This has prompted some universities to dissolve their diversity offices preemptively. Trump's policies frame DEI initiatives as discriminatory practices against white individuals, particularly men, calling for colorblind and merit-based society instead. This aligns with his campaign promises to fight what he labels as woke indoctrination, arguing that these Obama and Biden-era policies go against traditional values and national unity, suggesting that they create an identity-based system of favoritism, making America less competitive by abandoning excellence in favor of equity. For years, the constitutional principles of equity treatment under the law were being replaced by a system of government-mandated preferences concerning alternative anti-traditional lifestyles and forced Afrocentrism. Trump dismantled the government's vast DEI empire, fulfilling his promise to restore merit-based hiring and eliminate discriminatory practices. Some federal agencies committed to Afrocentric supremacy are attempting to rebrand their diversity initiatives under different names. But the administration has made it clear, any attempt to circumvent these orders will face immediate consequences. The Office of Personnel Management has been empowered to conduct surprise audits and ensure complete compliance. That said, Trump has promised to deport millions of illegal migrants, particularly those with criminal records of armed robbery, rape, and murder. His administration has set the ambition of deporting up to 1 million individuals annually as a starting point, focusing on recent arrivals and gang members. Critics argue that diversity is America's greatest strength, but this slogan once implied diversity of ideas and freedom of expression, not importing millions of single, military-age men from places like Haiti, Somalia, and the Congo, many of who are culturally hostile and have a history or predisposition to crime.
It's a frigid 5 degrees in the pre-dawn hours just outside of Boston, where this team of elite ICE officers is briefing on their targets for the day.
We're going to be targeting some extremely violent offenders today.
Within moments, the officers are on the move, with eyes on their first target.
Looks like we got movement, target vehicle coming out.
They quickly take him into custody. He's an MS-13 gang member wanted in El Salvador for aggravated murder. And he has an Interpol red notice out for his arrest.
We are targeting very violent threats to our community.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
So, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
ICE Boston quickly takes down its next targets, including this illegal alien from Brazil who has an Interpol red notice for armed robbery. This Salvadoran illegal alien charged locally with rape and released by a sanctuary jurisdiction.
Señor, ¿cómo se llama?
And this Dominican illegal alien charged with assault with a deadly weapon and heroin trafficking. Officers also arrested this Guatemalan MS-13 gang member facing gun charges. ICE says he was released from local custody just the day before. Their detainer request was ignored because of sanctuary policies. And in a sign of shifting priorities with the new Trump administration, this man, who was in the same apartment as the target, was also arrested after ICE determined he's also in the U.S. illegally. This is what ICE calls collateral.
So you guys got your main target just now, but you got somebody else. What just happened?
So our main target was released by a sanctuary jurisdiction, not honoring a detainer. That person was released back into the community, and when we went to go find him, he's with somebody else who was previously removed from the United States. So he's going to go today, too.
And that is exactly what Border Czar Tom Homan has warned would happen.
When we find the bad guy, he's probably with others. Others that are in the United States illegally. They may not be a criminal priority, but we're not walking away from them.
ICE Boston says they will continue to go into sanctuary jurisdictions and do their job.
Today was a good day. Today we took several significant public safety threats out of our communities. Unfortunately, a lot were released by sanctuary policies, but we're here to tell the Commonwealth and the rest of the country that we're going to find them whether they're released or not.
Only days into Trump's administration, it's already clear that his second term will bring about a generational change, and this is going much deeper than just aggressively addressing the border crisis. With one carefully crafted act, the president initiated the end of DEI in the federal government, and perhaps in the private sector and educational system as well. Trump's directive repeals a series of executive orders promoting discriminatory racial preferences in federal contracting, which doles out about $1.7 trillion in contracts and grants annually. It also puts public education systems and institutions of higher education on notice that if they don't comply with the Supreme Court's recent anti-affirmative action decision, their federal funding will be at risk. Taken together, this is seismic, and could have ripple effects into Europe as well. Will a subsequent Democratic president come into office and reinstitute decades worth of government quotas? It's possible, but this would require an electoral mandate to do so, and merit-based opportunity has much more political appeal than discriminatory racial preferences do. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through Patreon or various links available in the description section. Please subscribe and leave me your thoughts below as I read all the comments. Stay safe, and I hope to see you again soon.